Do you have the book tonight? How many of you have a copy, not of a book, but the book? Would you hold it up? And turn, please, to the book of Psalms, the Hebrew hymn book of the Bible. Go to Psalm chapter number 1. Psalm chapter number 1. Thank you for joining us tonight. Bring friends and loved ones and have them here during the process of the week. Wonderful Monday night crowd. Glad for all that God is doing. Would you stand, please, out of respect for the Word of the living God? A familiar passage of Scripture, Psalm 1 and 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight's in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. How many of you would like to really be happy in life? Would you raise your hand? The rest of you go home. I can't help you tonight. But if you really like to have genuine happiness, it's found in the Word of God. Title of the message tonight, How to Be Biblically Happy. Thank you. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, thank you for our friends that have joined us. Speak to every heart and every life. If anybody's come to church and not to Christ, may this be the time and the place that they're born again. We'll give you all the praise, honor, and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There's something everybody wants, but almost nobody has. Lots of people expect it, but very few people experience it. It's called happiness. By and large, Americans are not happy. 1 in 5 Americans this year will visit a psychiatrist. Valium is now a leading selling drug. Last night I told you 1 in every 2 first marriages fail. 2 out of every 3 second marriages fail. The number 2 calls for death on the college campus tonight is suicide, and every 60 minutes somebody in America tries to take their life. Americans are not happy for 2 reasons. 1, they don't know what it is, and 2, they have no idea where to find it. Would it shock you tonight if I told you that the Bible teaches you can have biblical, genuine happiness? Psalm 16:11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life, and thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Psalm 84:11 says, The Lord God's a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed, multiplied, much satisfaction is to them that trust in him. Psalm 144 and verse 15, Behold, happy is the people whose God is the Lord. You move into Matthew chapter 5, and 9 times in 9 verses, that word blessed appears. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those who understand the teaching of the Bible. John 13:17 is a little verse tucked away that explains it all. It says, If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Let me explain. You're not happy because of what you know about the Bible. You're happy because of what you do about what you know about the Bible. You see, the more Bible you know, the less you obey, the more guilty you'll be. But the more Bible you know, the more you obey, the more godly you will be, and holiness precedes happiness. The word blessed, used over 300 times in the Bible, 89 times in the book of Psalms, is the first in the Hebrew hymn book, blessed. It just jumps off the page. Total exhilaration, much happiness, complete satisfaction is to any man. You might call it the Psalm 1 challenge. God's inviting everybody to get in on this. So let's dive in and see what are the qualifications. First of all, notice in verse 1 that a man who's going to be genuinely happy must avoid sin. How many of you realize tonight happy drivers avoid accidents? Could I get an amen? Happy athletes avoid injuries. Happy golfers avoid water and woods and sand. Happy biblical people avoid sin. It says they avoid sinful counsel. The word counsel means philosophies and maxims. Your Bible says in Proverbs 14:7, Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the words of knowledge. Proverbs 19:27 says, Cease, my son, to hear the instruction of them that calls thee to err from the words of knowledge. Don't listen to stupid counsel. Preacher, could you be specific? Yeah, don't stay up and watch late night talk show hosts like Jay Lippo and David Lettermouth. You understand? You say, preacher, that's not nice. No, they're not nice. David Letterman has admitted multiple affairs with the girls he works with. He has a child out of wedlock. Don't blame the baby. It wasn't its fault. It's Mr. Letterman who's a whoremonger, and somebody ought to call him that. Used to be in the afternoon, they had this lady named Oprah Windbag, whatever you want to call her. She now has her own network, which I understand is about to sink. Happy day, happy day. She's the one who said Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven. Well, I'll take issue with her, for my Savior said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Romans 3:4 says, let God be true, and every man a liar. We must avoid the sinful counsel of the entertainment industry, and much of that which comes down the pike in the name of music, that is pro-homosexual and anti-marriage, and pro-immorality and pro-drugs. We must make up our mind that we're going to avoid sin. You say, preacher, I'll listen to what I want to, I'll do what I want to, and I'll have a good time. Now, folks, listen. I didn't say you couldn't have a temporary thrill. I'm not preaching on a thrill tonight. I'm talking about how to be genuinely happy. You can have a thrill jumping from 100 stories. 99 of them are out of sight. But it's that last one that rings true with reality. And you have a sudden collision that you didn't want. So if all you want to do is have a thrill, I can't help you tonight. But if you'd like to be biblically happy, you must avoid sin, sinful counsel, but also sinful companions. For he does not stand in the way of sinners. He doesn't come and take his stand with sinners. Now let me go on record tonight and remind you that Jesus Christ, Matthew 11 tells us, was the friend of sinners. One of the problems in independent Baptist churches is we have made separation and turned it into isolation. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. And when we get so holy-minded that we have made our churches a place to be recluses and not be salt and light, we missed the Acts 1:8 message. He shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me. No, we ought not come and take our stand with sinners. We ought not have them as our closest friends. But every born-again believer has the responsibility of sharing his faith. Are you getting out of the salt shaker into society, penetrating and permeating them with the power of the Holy Spirit in this book that will change their lives? This passage is simply saying, you don't come and take your stand with the ungodly. I've said often preaching to teenagers, you tell me your friends, I'll tell you your future. For your friends determine your future. The Bible says in Psalm 119:63, I'm a companion. That word means I'm interwoven with, I am knit together closely with, all them that fear thee and of them that keep thy precepts. Want to know how to choose your friends, whether you're a teenager or an adult? Ask two questions. Do they fear God? Do they follow God? Say it with me. Do they fear God? Do they follow God? You see, people who use profanity and watch pornography do not fear God. Those who want nothing to do with the local church and nothing to do with the Word of God do not follow God. Always ask the question, are the people I'm associating myself with fearing God and following God? May I say tonight, this is not just for young people. This is for everybody. How many people I've met in independent Baptist churches who one day went, but they got tied up in the business world with some ungodly people, and it wasn't long till they were missing Wednesday night, Sunday night, and now they're just jumped out of church right into the society mentality, well, you can worship anywhere. Well, let me tell you, Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You ought to be in your independent fundamental Baptist church every time the church doors are open to fellowship with those of like precious faith, to help iron sharpen iron and move forward for the cause of Christ. Your Bible says in Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools will be destroyed. A friend of mine said, would you visit my son? He's on death row in a southern city. I don't encourage anybody to do that, but I went out of respect for my friend. That young man, when he was 16 years of age, heard me preach. But evidently, he didn't believe a whole lot of what he heard at camp. Now in his late 30s, he has been pronounced guilty for the murder of a woman, and short of a miracle, will one day be executed. He did not come out bebopping with spiked hair, designer clothes, and buds in his ear. He came chained hand and feet, shuffling them, all of them wear orange there. He looked up very humble and said, I didn't think I'd ever see you again. After making sure that he knew the Lord Jesus Christ, I said, now, when did all this start? First words out of his mouth, my friends. My friends. Last week, a man came to me that's worked in 3 federal penitentiaries. He said, Brother Farrell, you can tell the congregations for me that almost everybody that's in jail hung out with the wrong crowd. You tell me your friends, I'll tell you your future. We must avoid sinful counsel. We must avoid sinful companions. And we must avoid sinful criticism. The word scorn means to mock with a mouth. Proverbs 14:9 says that only fools make a mock at sin. I wonder if you watch the average television comedian. He's probably not funny, but filthy. It's not funny when you make fun of that which God has honored and you honor that which God loathes. It's high time we make up our mind that we're not going to be listening, living, and laughing at that which is ungodly. Verse 1 simply says, avoid sin. But verse 2 says, absorb Scripture. His delight, his bent, his favor, his great inward desire is for the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now, there's a lot of ladies in this building, and you watch the commercials on absorbent paper towels. I must confess, I really don't care what kind of paper towel you use. I know that one is better than the other, they say. I simply tell my wife, buy the cheapest kind you can buy and use 2 of them. Don't worry about it. If you want to get all tied up in absorbent paper towels, that's up to you. I'm not near as concerned about absorbing towels as I am born-again believers who are absorbing and engulfing and being saturated with the Word of God. Would you allow me for just a moment to pledge allegiance to this book, the Bible? Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. I have a perfect book given by a holy God. Psalm 119:160, thy word is true from the beginning. There is only one book that I can guarantee that is true all the way through. Though I wrote a book, I quoted some people out of history. I hope that's what they said. That's what another book said. But there is a book that I know that was always said right because it came from the heart and mouth of Almighty God. Isaiah 40 and verse 8, the grass withers. The flower thereof fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Matthew 24:35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. John 15:3, now you're clean through the word. John 17:17, sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible is inspired. 2 Timothy 3:16. The Bible is indestructible. It will continue to march on long after the solar system burns its way out. In 1778, a French infidel by the name of Voltaire died. Prior to his death, he said, 50 years after I'm dead, there'll be no more Bibles. If you have a Bible tonight, would you hold it up real high? Well, that made Voltaire liar number one. He said, 100 years after I'm dead, there'll be no more Christians. If you're saved, say a hearty amen tonight. That made Voltaire liar number two. 50 years after he died, the Bible was not dead. The Geneva Bible Society bought his house to store copies of the Word of God in. You cannot stop the book. It will keep marching on. I'm preaching tonight primarily independent fundamental Baptists. You believe the Bible's inspired, it's indestructible, it's inerrant. Let's get real practical. Is it indispensable? Now let's go back to this morning and ask this question. Did you get out of bed and head for the book? Job 23:10, I've esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food. I wonder if this is the priority of your day. I want to ask you 4 questions about your Bible. 1, do you have a time set aside daily where you get in the Word of God and read it for yourself? Now let me put a disclaimer here. Pastor, since you have been saved, has there ever been a day that you missed your devotions? Yes, all right. Mrs. Pastor, you're sitting next to Mr. Pastor, and I'm sure you want to be as honest as he is. Has there ever been a day you missed your devotions? I'm going to confess I've missed my devotions. How many of you have ever done that? Let me see your hands. All right, now, I'm not concerned tonight that you missed your devotions. I'm concerned you didn't miss it when you missed it. You ought to have a daily time set aside where you get in the Word of God and let the Word of God get in you. Do you have a time set aside where you get with your family and we have family worship, family altar? I used to ask this in independent Baptist churches, and the response was so minimal, I quit embarrassing folks. It'd be interesting to know just how many of you tonight gather the family, sit down, and read. Well, you don't understand, preacher. We are so busy as a family going everywhere. That's interesting. You had time just recently to watch a 3-hour DVD. How many of you agree with this? We do what we want to do. Would you say amen tonight? So there is time if you will make time. Then do you have a way that you memorize Scripture? A verse a week, a verse every couple of weeks? Do you memorize the Word of God? And fourth, do you meditate on the Word of God? Here in this passage, his delights in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate. That word meditate means to murmur. It means that you speak it back. Now, you can't speak back what you're not taking in. So let me, for just a moment tonight, give you a quick lesson on meditation. You will not have to go to the mountains, cross your arms, legs, eyes, and think far eastern thoughts and be as dumb as those people are. You can actually sit right where you are. You can do it going home when you drive. You can do it all the time. Let's meditate tonight on Psalm 23 and verse 1. Let's say it together. Most of you know the 23rd Psalm. Here we go. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Now, how do you meditate on that? The word Lord means self-existent one, supreme one. Psalm 90 and verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. God has no birth date. He wasn't born. He'll have no funeral because he is eternal. The Lord is, for those of you that teach English, forgive this southern boy, but is the opposite of ain't. Amen. So the self-existent, no beginning, all eternal God still is my. That's a personal pronoun. He's my shepherd. What does a shepherd do? He leads and feeds. Put it together. The self-existent, all-eternal, supreme God is real, relevant today. He's my leader and my feeder. And the psalmist said, what more could I want? We just meditated in the sight of 2 minutes right here at the Cross Point Baptist Church. Now, you can meditate anywhere. You can meditate, sir, in the shower. You can meditate washing dishes. You can meditate on the highway with some of this traffic around here. You ought to meditate, that's for sure. You can meditate, ladies, in the morning when you fix your hair and your makeup. Some of you could meditate on the entire 119th Psalm. You really could. And so you can meditate anywhere all day long, and you can talk it back to God. And when you do day and night, you're going to become what you're beholding. And so God says, avoid sin, absorb Scripture. Get out of the sewer, get into the Scripture. Now, we have some people that believe if you will just don't do certain things, you'll be happy. Well, if that's true, the happiest people tonight are in the cemetery. They don't do anything. You're not happy just because you don't watch a program and you don't listen to that music. You can become a Pharisee that way. It leaves a vacuum. So you fill the vacuum with a valuable book called the Word of God. Avoid sin. Absorb Scripture. And then in verse 3 he says, you'll achieve success. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. What happens? When you get your roots down and those roots take in the water of the Word, you'll have a strong trunk. You'll have a strong tree. It will branch out. You'll be planted secure and stable. The average American is not secure tonight. Fear is at an all-time high. Is that young idiot over in North Korea going to actually launch a nuclear warhead? Is his associate idiot in Iran going to shoot one when they get enriched the uranium over in Israel? What's going to happen? May I say to you tonight, if you understand the Bible, the future is as bright as the promise of God. Somebody said, preacher, aren't you afraid of blowing up? No, because I'm going up one way or the other. And therefore, I don't lay awake at night being insecure. For most of our lives, my wife and I have lived in a 40-foot RV. One night, she leaned over to me and said, "Have you ever considered that that front door is not really that secure, and people could break in this RV and they could rob us?" I said, "No, never really crossed my mind. Let me give you a better one. Have you ever seriously considered that probably they won't break in, they'll just back a truck up and pull the whole thing off?" She said, "Why did you say that?" I said, "If you're going to worry, you need something really to worry about." She said, "If it happens, what should I do?" I said, "Don't wake me up till we get where we're going." We spend all of our time all bent out of shape when the Bible says in Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, for he trusteth in him." You'll be planted, but you'll also be productive. You'll bear fruit. Now, there's at least two kinds of fruit in the Bible. John 15:8, there's the fruit of souls. You know, one of the reasons people have a hard time talking about God is because they don't spend a lot of time thinking about God. But now watch this. If you'll avoid sin and absorb Scripture and your mind is filled with God, your mouth will be filled with the same God. You want to speak for Him because that's all you're thinking about. He is the center of your affection, and you will want to tell others about Jesus. And then there's the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against this there is no law. Now, good friend, if you're going to be a patient person, it's going to be the result of your meditation and maturing in the Word of God. If you're going to be a teachable person, if you're going to be a long-suffering person, if you're going to have the peace that passes understanding, it's not going to be what you work up. It's going to be what God works in. And so the question tonight is, are you bearing fruit? And you say, "Preacher, where does the happiness come from in this passage?" It's real simple. When you are fruitful, people pick your fruit, watch me carefully, and all of us hate to be used, but we love to be useful. Am I right? Happiest mother tonight believes her children need her. Happiest dad believes that the congregation or the business needs them. Happiest teenager hears somebody say, "I know you'll always be there for me." We are excited when we're useful. What's more useful than fruit? But now I've got to be very practical and ask you a question. Who's picking your fruit? More specific, is there any fruit to pick? When's the last time somebody walked up and said, "I watched you go through a trial. I'm facing the same thing. I saw how God worked in your life. I need you to intercede for me and give me some counsel." When's the last time somebody walked up and said, "You know, your kids seem to really love the Lord Jesus Christ. We're raising ours. Could you help us in this?" When's the last time somebody came and said, "You know, it's obvious to me you're a prayer warrior. You're in touch with God. Would you intercede for this?" When's the last time somebody walked up to you and said, "You know, you have a knack of sharing your faith and helping bring people to Christ. Would you take me with you and teach me how to be a witness for Jesus Christ?" Ladies and gentlemen, if there's no fruit to pick, then there's no happiness in your life. You're not excelling. You're just existing. Planted, productive, and whatever he does will prosper. What the Bible is saying is this. If you want to achieve success, make this step. Avoid sin. Make this step. Absorb Scripture. Turn the tube off and open the truth and ingest it and digest it for the glory of God. I don't have time to do the same thing with the next three verses I did, so let me just summarize verses 4, 5, and 6. The ungodly are not so. Ungodly comes from two words, without God. Did you know when we were born, we were all born without God? I'm a pastor's son, but I was not born going to heaven. I was born a sinner going to hell. I got saved as a young man listening to my father preach on hell. And this thought hit my mind like a ton of bricks. As I was looking at him, I thought to myself, I am his son, but I am not his son. God does not give a corner on the market or free coupons to preacher's children. We had to be born again just like anybody else. Except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. The ungodly are not so. What does that mean? They don't avoid sin. They love it. If they come to a Monday night meeting like this and it doesn't make any sense, they say, he must almost be done so I can get out of here. I'm going home and pop the top off of Colt 45. I'm going to watch CNN. And there's no desire for the things of God. They don't absorb Scripture. Coming to messages like this is boring. Therefore, they never achieve success. The Bible says they're like chaff. The word means empty. It's the hull of wheat. I was out of the country 5 times last year, constantly going, preaching the Word of God. Go with me to India and Africa, and you'll see them. They still winnow wheat, and they winnow the rice, and they throw it up, and the chaff is blown. What a picture of a person's life who's not saved. Blown, driven. From one relationship to the next, from one entertainment to the next. Somebody said, preacher, my problem's this. It's the old woman I married, I'm leaving her, and I'm going to marry this young chick. Listen very carefully. When you go to that second wedding, the same you that was at the first wedding is going to show up. And that first you that shows up at the second wedding is no different than the first you that was there at the first wedding. And that's why 2 out of 3 second marriages fail. Well, I'm going to move from Indiana to California. Well, I will say there'll be more you out there than there are out here. But you'll just be with a lot of yous and be as empty as a burnout volcano. Well, preacher, what I'll do, I'll just go get drunk. Now, don't you think that's brilliant? I mean, I've never thought of a brighter thing to do. Here's a man, he can't pay his bills. He's right on the brink of being fired. His wife detests him. His kids want nothing to do with him. So he goes out and gets sot drunk. By the time he gets home, his wife and kids are gone. He oversleeps the next morning. He gets fired, has the same bills, can't remember what he did the night before. But the booze is going to solve everything. Ladies and gentlemen, it just makes it worse. Chaff is blown. But Matthew 3 and verse 12 says chaff is burned. Cast them, the chaff, into unquenchable fire. I want you to think about this tonight. Is it not bad enough to live your entire life on a roller coaster from one thrill to the next, but never happy? But then you die without Jesus Christ and go to a literal place called hell, and you are empty for eternity. There's no booze because there's not a drop of water. The sun never rises because it's midnight forever. The smoke of your torment will ascend up day and night. And I say to you, good friend, you do not have to die in your sin because Jesus Christ died for your sin. You don't have to spend an eternity away from God. You can spend an eternity with God. But you must come to Him by faith. Proverbs 8:35 says, he that findeth me findeth life. Wisdom's personified. He's speaking. Did you know that Jesus is all of life? In John 6:48, Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. If you're hungry, come, I'll feed you. He said in John 9:5, I'm the light of life. You don't have to live in darkness. He said in John 10:9, I'm the door of life. Come in, don't stay outside. He said in John 10:11, I'm the shepherd of life. I'll guide you and take you right down exactly where you should be and fulfill every desire you have. He said in John 11:25, I'm the resurrection and the life. He said in John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. Here's what Jesus said. I am everything you've been looking for. And if you tonight will say no to your sin, we call that repentance. I don't want to go this way. I can't change my life, but I can change my mind. Except you repent, you'll perish. And you'll transfer your trust to the one who's trustworthy, Jesus Christ. And you will receive Him for who He is. He's God. And what He did for you, He died for your sin. He shed His blood for your sin. He loves you. He was buried for you. He was raised again for you. And tonight, He's offering you the personal, individual opportunity by faith to receive Him. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't mean whoever will say Jesus, but it means whoever as a sinner comes to the conclusion nothing I can do will save me. But will come and transfer their trust to Christ alone and ask Jesus Christ, God Almighty, come live in my life, save my soul. Every person who comes by faith has been saved by the grace of God, and you can be too. You don't have to leave this building tonight. avoiding Scripture, absorbing sin, you can leave this place tonight clean, forgiven, justified, redeemed, a brand new person. Your name written in the book of life and a peace in your soul that you will never be able to get over, because you'll spend an eternity around the throne of God thanking Him for what He did. And one day we may understand it better, but it'll take us all eternity just to thank God for the salvation that came free through Jesus Christ. I got two questions tonight. Number one, if you drop dead in your seat just like you are, you couldn't change one thing, can you prove from this Bible you'll go to heaven? Number two, can you prove by your life you're being a biblically happy believer?